Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, Memorial Sunday, May the 24th, 1987. We trust this memorial service today in memory of our loved ones will be a real blessing to your heart. God bless you. At this time, Brother Tom is going to come and direct our choir in a special choir number at this time. Certainly a beautiful song. I'll be somewhere listening. The song right opposite the one we sang a while ago says, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I trust you will. I trust you'll be listening. Brother Kermit Combs is going to come up to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. While he's coming up, I'd like to mention these prayer requests. We do want to be praying for these listed here in the bulletin who are physically ill. My mom is still not done well, and I talked to my younger brother on the phone a while ago, just before Sunday school started, and he said I better get a funeral message ready. It's going to be hard to speak at my mom's funeral, but you know, my mom is still in this world. She may outlive me. We don't know. I trust you'll be praying for her today, and also others listed here in the bulletin who are laid aside in physical illness. I believe the greatest illness today is spiritual illness. If you're here today without the Lord, you're not complete yet. We spoke a few Sunday nights ago on complete in Jesus. Without Him, you're not complete. And my prayer is that you will trust the Lord today if you haven't already. Let's be praying also for our boys who are in service, those who lost loved ones recently in death, and also the many that are unsaved on our mission field, those who are unconcerned. We know God's able to give us a wonderful service today. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through each one of us as we meet here to lift up Jesus. That's why we're here. Brother Kermit's going to come to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And while you're turning, next Sunday will be the fifth Sunday of the month. And on the fifth Sundays, we always have a food shower or pounding for the pastor. So if you would like to contribute a food item next Sunday to the pastor and his family, bring it, put it in the back room, and it'll be well received. And don't forget next Saturday, the churchwide picnic. Make plans now to be there, and we'll enjoy it, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, the mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the said frame, thanking God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whether we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we come to Thee this morning, Father, thanking Thee for forgiving us of our sins and shortcomings and many failures. We ask, Father, that You be with those of our number and our friends that are sick, that are shut in or that are apart from us, Father, for whatever reason. Bless and keep them, Father, in all things. And, Father, we pray now that You bless each home represented here today, and that as we now approach the week, Father, that we be a blessing to Thee. And, Father, we ask that You be with the pastor this morning, that the message he brings truly stirs our hearts and draws us close to Thee. Be with us now in all things. This we pray and ask for in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymn, let's get us a hymn book and turn to page 420. There's a land that is fairer than day. Let's sing all three verses. And let's stand the ones that feel like it.
There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare. In the sleep by
beginning today, we're going to start having the missionary moments just before the offering. This time we'd like our ushers to come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. We have quite a few missionaries, foreign missionaries and home missionaries and state missionaries. This morning we have a home missionary that works for the Lord up in Maine, named Dolores Thomas. 75% of the people who live in Maine attend no church. And this lady's one of her duties is to develop mission strategies and weekday Bible study sites, visiting homes, and organize volunteers to start new churches. I believe every church in the United States is on a mission field. And we need to evangelize and try to reach out in love to people around us and try to bring them in to the Lord. We'd like to ask Brother Jerry to lead us in prayer this morning, please.
Our Heavenly Father, as we close this great day, Father, be with our pastor and bring forth the message. Father, have a special blessing on our service men as they bring forth the preaching that we know that done.
Amen.
The Father, bless each one that gives us this offering. Lord, your son.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just before the message today, Melanie and Wanda are going to come and play a flute duet for us. Just remember them in prayer as they come to play at this time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's where I trust you'll look today. The second verse of Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My prayer for this service today is that something of eternal worth will be accomplished here this morning. I trust this service will bring comfort to you, as well as conviction, as we look into these verses that Brother Kermit read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Someday you and I are going to meet an appointment. We may have been late for some appointments here in this life. I've been late for appointments. I've had to cancel other appointments. And I believe, friends, that one appointment that you and I are going to meet, it's going to be on time. And that is the appointment of death. Hebrews 9:27, the writer of Hebrews says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We can look all around us and know that death is a reality. Death is coming. When my mom was over here in the old hospital and transferred over to the new hospital a few weeks ago, at one time they said 3 to 4 days is all she's going to live. But my friend, that was 4 or 5 weeks ago. I believe God has an appointment, and we're going to meet it right on schedule. When my life, when God sees fit that my life is supposed to end, I believe it's going to end. When God gets my mansion ready there in heaven, I'm going to move out of this house, and I'm going to move up to my house, which is above, a house not made with hands. I don't know when that's going to be. I would like to go up at the rapture. I would like to not have to go through the avenue of death. But I know if time lasts, that death is going to come to this house. It's going to come to your house. Death has no respect of persons. When I was chaplain on call over here at the old hospital, I got a call here at the church to come down. I went down there, and there was a family there that was grieving. They had lost 2 children in a motorcycle accident down close to where Brother Bales Campbell's church is, down on Lost Creek. My friend, death has no respect of persons. It reaches the young and the old. I was called over to the emergency room one night. And the first thing a daughter told me, she said, my dad wanted to be 100. And he would have been 100 in just a few days. But he had gone into eternity. We're going to talk today about the blessed dead. The blessed dead. There's a verse over in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13. That's going to be our key verse this morning. Revelation 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The blessed dead. I believe this morning that a Christian need not fear death. I heard a fellow preach a funeral one time, and he said this. I've never forgotten it. Death is a door opening to a richer, fuller life. Here in this house of clay, we're handicapped. But I tell you, someday we're going to move out. The body is going to be a house of clay that's going to go back to the dust. We're going to move out. And we'll not be handicapped anymore. The question is, where am I going? Every person who has ever lived or ever will live, if you're on this planet Earth, is headed somewhere. You're headed somewhere. I'm headed somewhere. I thank God that heaven is in my future. Do you have heaven in your future? One time we had a member that was fixing to go into eternity. And he said to me, "How beautiful heaven must be." And I said to Henry Spencer, "What did you say?" I wanted to make sure that I'd heard right. And he said, "How beautiful heaven must be." That was one of the songs that we sang at his funeral a few days later. My friend, death is just as real or more real than living. And I'm glad someday that we can move out of this house. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:1 that Brother Kermit read, he said, it says here, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house that is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We're never going to get out of existence. A little girl one time invited her uncle to church. She wanted to see him saved so badly. And when they got to church, she found out that the preacher was going to preach on chapter 5 of Genesis. And that's where we have the obituary column in the Bible. "And he died, and he died, and he died." Right on down the line, all the way to Methuselah. And others are listed in chapter 5 of Genesis. She felt like crawling in a hole. She wanted the pastor to preach on something else. An inspiring message that would stir her uncle's heart. And she was almost ashamed to be in that service and her uncle sitting beside her. But you know what? On the way home, every step that that uncle took, on the way home that night, those three words were ringing through his mind. "And he died. And he died." At work the next day, "And he died. And he died." My friend, it wasn't long until that uncle was saved because he heard a message. It got him to thinking, "Where am I going?" And he died. He was ready. I told an old lady over here at the hospital one day. She was a Christian. And I said to her, "When we're saved and know the Lord, we are ready to live, or we're ready to go home to be with the Lord." There are two very unpredictable things in life, and one of those is death. The other one is the rapture of the church. Those two things, we don't know when they're going to happen. Jesus could come back today and rapture the church home. I don't know. I was over at the hospital when Mrs. Stidham died. Brother Don Combs, his mother-in-law, Nancy's mom. And that was the Sunday morning, I think, when the first space shuttle went up. They had some exploration in space that morning. And I mentioned to someone that Mrs. Stidham just went right on by that spaceship, just like it was sitting still when she went home to heaven. Friends, I believe in heaven. There is a place called heaven. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't, I would quit preaching. I would live any old way if I didn't believe there was an afterlife. My friend, there is an afterlife. There's heaven to look forward to. And how beautiful heaven must be. First of all, blessed are the dead. Why are they blessed? Because they have died in the Lord. They are a little ahead of us. Their loved ones who've died in the Lord, they are ahead of us a little bit. Because in 1 Thessalonians it says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are only two ways to die, my friend, and one is in the Lord, and the other one is out of the Lord. I talked to Paul Wagner the other night. A few mornings ago, Brother Paul Wagner was traveling up toward Bonneman area. A car came around another vehicle, and they hit head-on. And the state police told Brother Wagner, without your seatbelt, there would have been two widows instead of one. God had something else for Brother Wagner to do. He's pastor of the Beulah Community Church out here at Beulah. God has something else for him to do. Otherwise, Brother Paul would have been in heaven today, along with the other fellow. If you had to meet the Lord in the next minute, where would you go? I want to say it again. If you had to meet the Lord in the next minute, the next 60 seconds, where would you go? You're going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. That die in the Lord. David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In Luke 16 it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. First of all, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Who die in the Lord. There was a missionary to Burma by the name of Adoniram Judson, and he said this, Brother Judson died at sea, and his body was committed to the deep. At death, he said, I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ. He died. Why could he say that? Because he was saved. He knew Jesus. He didn't know about him, he knew him. There's a great difference in knowing about someone and in knowing them. Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him. Do you know Jesus today? Many of you gathered here today, I trust all of you know Jesus. All of you know the Lord. Also, I believe they're blessed because they've gone to rest. Part of the song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, mentions rest. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. They're blessed that they may rest from their labors. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:1 it says, for we know. Paul didn't have any doubts at all about this. He said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, word is of, we have, present tense, we have a building of God and house that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I thank God today we can have that much confidence, aren't you? Aren't you glad that we can say with Paul, we know that we have a house in heaven, not made with hands. God has a retirement plan like no company on earth has. You know what David said? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a retirement plan, Brother Tom. We're going home someday. How beautiful heaven must be. Hebrews 4:9 says this, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest. And I believe this with all my heart. A person must find rest in salvation here if they're going to expect to rest in heaven throughout eternity. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're living today in a restless world, where anything can happen, and usually does. We need to rest our soul in salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5:4-8, it says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. I believe also another reason why they're blessed, not only because they die in the Lord, not only are they resting from their labors, but look what the last part of Revelation 14:13 says. And their works do follow them. Someone said this, don't bury me when I die. You know what he meant by that? Don't bury me when I die. I do not know where the last 17 years of messages that I've given here at this church have gone. I do not know the many hearts into which those messages have entered. But after I'm gone, don't bury the influence that I have had. I trust I've been a good influence. Sometimes I guess I've not been the best. I've still got my feet on the ground. But I've got my eyes on the Lord. Don't bury me when I die. This fellow meant, don't bury the influence. Don't bury the character that I had here on this earth. That they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Our works for the Lord are going to follow us. I trust our works will endure. I know this, someday our works are going to be tried by fire. The last verse here that Brother Kermit read, verse 10, says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No Christian is going to be exempt from this. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of how we've lived here on this earth since we've been saved. If our works are burned, 1 Corinthians 3 says, we'll suffer loss, but we'll be saved, yet so as by fire. I remember Brother Elihu Thomas. I remember the message I preached at his funeral. Graduated with honors. I remember Brother Barker. What a testimony he was to our church. I was going through back here a few days ago and looking at the people's names of people that I dearly loved. I love them yet. Someday, I'm going to be with them again. Members of our church, members we had in our homebound classes. There are many, many people who are in heaven today who've gone on, but their works are following them right here in Airport Gardens. Their works are following them. Their influence that they had. My dad went to be with the Lord 17 years ago. Brother Johnny Miller and I visited a man that lived just across the street from him. And my dad worked with this fellow on the railroad quite a few years. My dad's works were following him. My dad led a man to the Lord on the railroad. This fellow could not read and write. My dad led him to the Lord. You know what this man is doing today? He's preaching. My dad went down in Breathitt County where this fellow lived and established an old regular Baptist church. And Richard Byers, no doubt, is preaching today. Mill Creek Old Regular Baptist Church. Don't bury me when I die. I know you'll keep my body here in the church a night or so. And then this old house of clay will be put in the ground. But I want to say again, don't bury me when I die. Don't bury my influence that I might have had on someone. Blessed are the dead, first of all, that die in the Lord. That die in the Lord. That they may rest. My mom's body is about wore out. She's been here 82 years. She raised 11 children. And she's about wore out. My friend, someday she is going to rest. I tried to have a homebound Bible class with her Thursday, this past week. And I had a time keeping her awake. She closed her eyes. My younger brother preached her a sermon yesterday. She said to me, why don't you come over here and preach like George does to me? And I said this to her, I gave you a Sunday school lesson this past Thursday. She loves preaching. My brother preached it to her, I guess, instead of talk like I'm talking now. Someday we're going to rest from our labors. Rest. I had rather go to heaven from a bed of sickness where I couldn't move my little finger than to go to hell from a flowery bed of ease. Where are you going? Well, you may say, I haven't thought much about that. My friend, it's time to think. It's time to think. on this day before Memorial Day. I know many of our people are out decorating graves today. Thank God for our loved ones. Get ready for heaven today as Brother Tom comes to lead us in this invitation hymn. It says, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. If you've never met Jesus in a salvation experience, there's no better time than this morning, about a minute or two before 12. No better time than right now to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You may want to come today as a Christian and dedicate your life anew and afresh to the Lord and let Him use you. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to have some works that are going to follow you after you're gone. I love the song Brother White's favorite says, we'll work till Jesus comes. There's no retirement, there's no discharge in this war until we are discharged from here to there. Let's be working as we stand to sing 217.